The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be,
Our Lady, Queen of all Saints,
Saint
Dismas, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So, remember now, if you're eating, we have to, you know, fast for an hour before Mass. Holy Mass will begin after this hour, and we'll have Holy Rosary, then Holy Mass, and then we'll have lunch. Okay, so we'll begin on volume 23, 9, 21, 27. My good daughter Louisa, there is no proof that is more certain and sure that can do greater good for both you and to others than having what I, God, have manifested to you in the book of heaven, these so many truths. So here is the greatest thing that Jesus says that he's giving to the world is the book of heaven. Now that's the thing that he told St. Honorable de Francia, that he was the one to publish these writings. And when he died, Louisa said to Jesus, he hasn't even published everything. And you take him from us. Why? And Jesus says, because Father Anibale will do the rest of the work from heaven. So this is why we always bring in Father Anibale, his picture, because it is his job to publish these writings. So we always pray to him and we dedicate everything to him. The writings, if you don't have the writings, we can get them for you. But again, the main thing the Archbishop says is that you have a priest and that you do two things when you read. You also incorporate the Catechism of the Catholic Church and Sacred Scripture. And as if you notice at the back of this, you have the teachings of the Church that go hand in hand with the teachings on truth. So this is, again, this is for you. If you want anything, we'll be able to give you the telephone number and address of who can get these for you. Okay, and one of the things that you have to remember is if you're introducing this to someone, give them the hours of the Passion of the Virgin Mary. Let them, and if they come back to you and say, can I have more, then you can give them more. See, this is, again, secret and hidden. And why is this secret and hidden? Because Jesus says, if they say no, it is eternal. And when most people hear this, immediately the immediate reaction is, I have St. Teresa, I have St. Francis, I love St. Benedict, I don't need who with this. Who are you talking about, Louisa? Who? So our job is to, you know, help them understand with the Hours of the Passion of the Virgin Mary, and even Father Bucci's book, what his Aunt Rosaria told him. Again, this is, and you give them time, you know, don't just say, hey, you got to read this, you got to read that, because it overwhelms people. So it's just little by little, but once you understand what this is, then you make a commitment to Jesus, like I said. So he says, there's no proof that is more certain and sure and could do a greater good for both you and for everyone else is that what I've manifested to you, these truths in the book of heaven. And as we read this, our life becomes ordered. Our life becomes peaceful. We become joyful. Jesus says, I will give you my joy so that your joy will be complete. You fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with the Blessed Mother. Through this little newborn, Louisa, you know, who is she that God has given her this great gift to bring back to mankind the gift that was lost by Adam? Who is she? I mean, I still cannot understand how beautiful this girl is. See, Jesus says in volume 12, I, God, cannot live without Louisa Picaretta. I cannot live without her. And if God is saying this, what does that say to us? So he says, truth is more than miracle. Truth brings permanent divine life within itself. And wherever truth reaches, and whomever listens to truth, it bilocates the truth together with its life to give itself to whoever it wants. Oh, excuse me, whoever wants it. So here, if we want this, we're going to receive it. See, Jesus says, if you desire this gift of the divine will, you're more than halfway there. God does everything. He even gives you the desire. So as you want this, he begins to fill you. He, like, remember, St. Teresa says, if you open yourself to the size of a thimble, God will fill you. If you open yourself to the size of a bathtub, God will fill you. He says, with the Louisa, he says, I want you to hang on to Louisa and dive into the infinite ocean of the divine will and drown, never to be released from the love of God, to always possess the love, the life, the light of God. He's saying, where we are living now, we will look at this body and we will see as if we were living dead compared to the abundant life that God wants us to possess. See, it's to begin to live this now, not to wait until after we die. He wants us to live heaven now. And heaven is again, peace, joy, and happiness. You look at, you know, most people are just filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus says, I want to free you of that. You know, he says, since you haven't come after me, I'm going to come after you. And I'm going to wage war against mankind, but it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love. And mankind will not be able to push me away ever again. See, God has this plan, and we are part of his plan, and that is to begin to live heaven on earth. So Jesus says this, therefore, my truths are perennial light, not subject to being extinguished, as well as divine life that never dies. So as we breathe this in, as we begin to live this life, these truths, they last with us for all eternity. See, the saints have said this, the more that you know on earth, the more you will possess in heaven. Now we're not talking about science or geography, or we're talking about what, the more we know about the love of God, the more we possess that for all eternity. See, we have to enter into this life of God. And I see some of you have those little baby Jesuses. Jesus wants to be held. Jesus wants to be kissed. He says that to the saints. He says, if you kiss my cross, you're actually kissing me, my wounds when I was on the cross. So it's not just something entertaining when the Pope carries the baby Jesus at Christmas and kisses him. You know, that's kind of cute. No, Jesus says, I accept it as if you were actually kissing me. Now think about this. Our God wants to be held. Our God wants to be hugged. Our God wants to be loved. That's how humble he is. He's not only that, but he becomes our food. We nourish ourselves on God. And then he says to us what he said to St. Faustina. He said to St. Faustina, I want you to become a living host. And then he tells Louisa what a living host is. This is how you become a living host in volume 15 and 16. So what does Jesus want? He says, I want to be your food, but I also want you to be my food. So what does he nourish? How does he nourish himself on us? If we're doing acts in the divine will, rounds of the divine will, those are acts that God does. Come, divine will. Come, Lord Jesus, breathe in my breathing. You take a breath, that is Jesus breathing in your breathing. It's no longer you. He takes us at our word. Come, Lord Jesus, reign in me. Walk in my walking. Dance in my dancing. Swim in my swimming. Come, Lord Jesus, you have life. I want you to be alive on earth again. I want you to run with me. See, it's these truths that Jesus has given to Louisa. He says, our divine lives, not subject to be extinguished, but as divine life that never dies. So again, we participate in this gift as we learn how to walk with God and talk with God in the cool of the evening as Adam did. That's a perennial communion with Jesus. Why does Jesus give us Holy Communion? He gives us Holy Communion now in the Holy Catholic Church so that we can begin to learn how to be in perennial communion with God. We have Holy Communion until that host is ours in that 15 minutes. We adore Him, love Him, praise Him, thank Him, glorify Him, and worship Him. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, it's as if all mankind were speaking the I love you to Jesus with your voice. That's how powerful the divine will is. It transforms heaven. Heaven becomes to earth. And then earth sends its love to heaven. It's the kiss between heaven and earth that Scripture talks about. See, our God wants us to begin to live heaven now. Not after we die. If we wait until we die, I don't know if you're ever going to make it. You have to begin to live heaven now. That's why to be pure, what does Our Lady of America say? Our Lady of America is very important. She says, America, the children of America will bring purity to the world. What is that purity? It's the divine will. And if you read the first homily of Archbishop Cassati in 1994 when the cause was open, he says, I don't understand why Americans love Luisa more than we in Italy do. He says, I can't figure this out. But if you really begin to understand what God has done with this country and why the devil wants to destroy this country, see, our job is to really bring purity, which is the divine will, to all the world. See, purity is the life of Jesus. Purity is the life of Mary. This is what we begin to live as we study these truths. See, only the pure of heart will be able to see God. I mean, that should be your prayer. I want to see you, Jesus. I want to hear you, Jesus. I see, Jesus said to Luisa in Volume 36 that our senses were made for God. But we have fallen from such a height that sacred scripture says, no man can see God and live. We have to begin to see Jesus. We have to begin to see and hear our God. He is the Word. That's why we have to end up in silence to listen to Him. And not only that, but to smell Him, to taste Him, and to touch Him. Our senses are made for God. So again, this is what he's saying. What good can a truth of mine not produce? It can form saints. It can convert souls. It can dispel darkness. It has the virtue of renewing the whole world. Therefore, I, God, perform a greater miracle when I manifest one of my truths than when we give further proof that it is I, God, who go to the soul. Nor did other miracles, miraculous things, because these are the shadow of my power. These are passing light. And because it is passing, it does not bring the miraculous virtue to everyone, but is limited to the individual who has received the miracle. And many times, not even the one who has received the miracle makes himself a saint. So here Jesus is saying, I'm going to do more for mankind than I've ever done before. You know, that's why as you read this, you're just in awe of what God is doing. On the other hand, the truth contains divine life, and as life, it brings virtue to whoever it wants. Be certain, my daughter, that if in the coming upon earth I had not spoken so many truths of the gospel, even if I had done miracles, the redemption would have been hampered without development, because they would have found nothing, neither the teachings nor the light of the truth. In order to learn the remedies, to find the way that leads to heaven. So what Jesus taught in the gospel are the remedies. That Jesus taught in the gospel are the teachings to really have us embrace this gift of the divine will. Again, he says to Luisa, this gift is not to become a saint. That's what the saints have done. Jesus, he says this, not just so you understand this. Jesus says the saints are like stars that surround the sun, a halo around the sun. You, Louisa, are in the Son. You're in the Trinity. And all the souls in the divine will link to you, will enter into the Son, not to be the stars, but to enter into the Son of the divine will. So all the angels, all the saints are praying that we who must live in the divine will accomplish it. To link ourselves with Louisa, to enter into the S-U-N of God, the Son of God, to participate in that fire of God's love. The saints only reflect that fire as the stars do. See, God is expecting more from us than he expected of all the saints combined. See, Jesus says that. All the martyrdoms, all the miracles that the saints produced are not together, combined, cannot be compared to one eye blink of Louisa. Why? Because she says, Jesus blink in my blinking. And that is Jesus blinking. It's a divine act. Jesus is doing it. If the saints said, blink in my blinking, it wouldn't have happened. Why? Because they did not have Louisa. See, this is Louisa's gift. So when the saints blinked, God says, well, there's St. Francis blinking. How nice that is. When Louisa blinks, the Father says, my Son is blinking. Divinity is blinking. See, we're not saying Louisa's divinity, but it's sharing in divinity. That's what the priest does every day at Holy Mass. He puts the drop of water into the chalice and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. We are that drop of water. We are the nothing. Entering into that glass filled with wine, that cup filled with wine, and that drop of water becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. See, God wants us to share in his divinity. We are in God's image and likeness. Through holy baptism in the church, we are in God's image. Through this great gift of the divine will, we begin to be in God's likeness. And what does that mean? That means to do what God does. Jesus said that. You'll do far greater things than I. So as we participate in this gift with Louisa, we say, Jesus, come blink in my blinking. Come swallow in my swallowing. Come gaze in my gazing. Come hear in my hearing. Jesus, be alive in me. Reign in me. Be Lord of my life. See, you're never alone when you're with Jesus. The people say, oh, I feel so lonely. My spouse has died. Well, read the divine will and you'll never be lonely again. You'll be with your true spouse, Jesus. That's why he says in Volume 2, in the very beginning, and on February 28th, 1899, Jesus says to Louisa, you must possess the mystical marriage in order to live in the divine will. I can't possess the mystical marriage. That's the highest gift given to saints. But if I link myself to Louisa, who possesses it, then I possess it. So I go out and buy myself a ring and I wear it. Jesus has proposed and I have accepted his proposal. He wants to marry. He came to earth to find a bride. God came to earth to find a bride. And he will marry us collectively in the Holy Church, but individually as well. You are never alone again. And what happens is you want to be alone so that you can spend your time with him. And that's what, again, let's go back to the rounds. You're adoring him and loving him, praising him and thanking him and glorifying and worshiping him all throughout the day. You're rejoicing in God. The things of the world begin to fall away from you. The things of heaven begin to fill you. That's how great this gift is. So he says, thank you, Lord. I don't know if you heard it, but I heard it. So it be with you, Louisa. Had I not spoken to you, Louisa, so many truths, especially on my holy, adorable will, that has been the greatest miracle. Listen to this. The greatest miracle I, God, have done in these times. So what's the greatest miracle that Jesus has done in these times is spoken to Louisa the truths in the book of heaven. This is why when the Archbishop said anybody can read, the world has changed. At that moment, what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. Now, again, we always could read, but there were individuals who said that we couldn't. How sad that was. But now everybody can read, and there's the foot that's on everybody's neck has been taken off, and you can read. You're not committed any sins, as some people were saying. This is so glorious. He says, the greatest miracle that I, God, have done in these times is these truths that I've given to you, Louisa, in the book of heaven. And then he says, what good would your mission bring? The mission so great entrusted to you, Louisa, of making known the kingdom of my supreme fiat. On the other hand, because I, God, have told you so many truths about the divine will, my divine will can be known in the world in order that the peace, the light, and the lost happiness can again be restored. That means to live the life of Adam, and that's the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. This has not been seen by the saints. The saints only could dream about this. Can you imagine if the apostles had Louisa? What they would have done if Louisa was 2,000 years ago? They would set the world on fire. But Jesus says this, and this is for later on today. Jesus says that we are to be the apostles of the divine will. Now, Father Bucci, last time we were with Father Bucci, he says, I want to give to you what Louisa gave to me. So Louisa held Father Bucci, kissed Father Bucci, hugged Father Bucci, prayed over Father Bucci, prophesied over Father Bucci, and really asked him to be an apostle of the divine will. So he prayed over us. And he said basically to the priest, give this to everybody. Now you, when you receive this, you can give it to those that are under you. For example, a mother and father can give any blessing that they have received to their children. That's, again, the duty of the father, to pass on the blessings, to give the faith to their children. If you are a teacher, you can do this. If you're a doctor, you can do this. With the patients that are under you, that are under your care. But if you just say, well, I can do this now to anybody, well, that really doesn't work like that. It's a father and mother can give it to their children. A teacher can give it to its students. A doctor can give it to his patients. I say that to the doctors. You know, usually I give them holy oil and tell them when they are with their patient, just put a little dab of holy oil on their thumb and just touch their forehead and bless them. See, the doctors have been given the angel of healing, St. Raphael. And the Catholic Church is filled with sacraments and sacramentals. Use the sacraments. Use the sacramentals for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Parents can do that with their children. Exercise holy water. Exercise salt. You know, exercise oil to bless. Again, these are not sacraments, but the sacramentals are our means, our remedies for all the things of the world. You know, make your house a parish. So when you come in, you bless yourself with holy water at the door. You make sure that there is a place for prayer. You make sure that there's a crucifix in your house, at least in one room. If you love Our Lady, you put a statue of Our Lady outside to tell the world, she is my queen. She is my mother. You know, and when Christmas comes, don't put out a reindeer or Santa Claus or, you know, a snowman. Put Jesus, Mary, and Joseph out there. This is the birth of Jesus is taking place. As Catholics, we want to teach, you know, what we know. You know, wear a crucifix. You know, make sure that everyone knows you're a Catholic. Again, the thing that got me was when they said to Jonah, when the waves were coming over the boat, they said, "Who are you? We know it's you. Who are you?" And he said, "I am a Hebrew." Now that's the first thing we should say. Who are you? I am a Catholic. I am a Catholic. I don't work on Sunday. I am a Catholic. I don't shop on Sunday. I am a Catholic. Sunday is the Lord's Day. The Vicar of Christ is my pontiff. Mary is my mother. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I spend time with him every day. I pray the rosary. I wear the scapular. To be Catholic is the greatest gift that God has given. And now he wants to crown his church, he says, with his gift of the divine will. He wants to, this is what he's going to do. And he's asking us to be Catholic. Where are you going? I'm going to confession. You're going to confession? Yes, I want to confess my sins. I want to be full of grace. See, it's very, very important that we understand the devil hates Mary, the Blessed Mother. Blessed are you among women. The devil hates Jesus. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And the devil hates the Pope. Blessed are you, Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. And he's going to try to convince us to go against one or all. Why? Because if you follow the three blesseds, you become the fourth blessed. Blessed are you who hunger. Blessed are you who are thirsty. Blessed are you. See, you can't possess this blessedness unless you are part of the church. And the church exalts Jesus, Mary, and the pontiff. And the first one who will possess this gift will be the Holy Father. It's very, very clear. What our God wants is he wants us to possess this gift. So we pray for the Holy Father. We pray for our bishops. We pray for our priests. You know, the devil is going after them hook, line, and sinker, trying to destroy every one of us. And our job is to pray. And again, that's why the only prayer that Jesus taught the community was pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for those that would shepherd the sheep. So as you live in the divine will, you stop criticizing. You stop worrying. You stop being fearful. You stop being anxious. Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He's our God. He's our all. Mary is the mother and queen of both heaven and earth. And they have given us a pontiff to lead us into the kingdom, who has the keys to the kingdom. That's why Jesus says to Louisa in Vine 15, "I give you this gift, Louisa, so that you will give it back to the Pope, the man." Who? The one with the keys. And then he says to Louisa, "You must be the key." Why? So that the Holy Father will use to open the doors of the kingdom so everyone will become Catholic. And that's what he says in Vine 24. The Jews will be converted. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants will all become Catholic. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. God wins. Our Lady is going to be victorious. And they're going to exalt this newborn, Louisa. Again, our God is asking us to really begin to understand, to see things from God's perspective. Don't look at it from a limited human understanding. You got to go beyond that. The devil will confuse you. But when you see things with the eyes of Jesus, how beautiful, how holy, how perfect everything is, and the lost happiness is going to be restored. So he says, "All these truths shall bring man unto the lap of his Creator, that they may exchange the first kiss of creation, and man may be given back the image of God who created him." So again, where through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now what's going to happen is we're going to be receiving the likeness of God through this gift of the divine will. "If you knew the great good that all these truths that I, Jesus, have spoken to you, Louisa, shall bring to souls, your heart would split with joy. Nor can you fear that the infernal enemy might dare to manifest to you a single truth about my divine will. In fact, before its light, the devil trembles and flees. Each truth in my divine will is one more hell for him. And because he wanted neither to love the divine will nor to do the divine will, the divine will changed for him into torments that shall have no end. Before the mere word will of God, the devil feels himself burnt so much that he flies into a rage, and he hates that holy divine will that torments him more than hell. Therefore, you can be sure that the will of God and the infernal enemy never gets along, nor can they be together or close. See, that's what happens. The devil flees from you. Why? Because he sees Jesus and Mary through Louisa. He does not want to be near the Blessed Mother because he has to go under her heel. He does not want to be near Jesus because Jesus had him crucified on the cross. All sin was crucified with Jesus. Again, that becomes our divine mirror. We are no longer worrying about anything. No more fear, no more anxiety, no more negativity. It's to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. So he says, its light eclipses him and hurls the devil into the chasms of hell. Therefore, what I, God, recommend to you is that you let not even one truth or one simple word of my divine will be lost, because everything must serve to perform the chain of perennial miracles so as to make known its kingdom and give back the lost happiness to creatures. And that's another thing we'll do today. Besides the blessing of Father Bucci, that is really a blessing from Louisa, directly from Louisa. And again, everything changes after that. If you've already received the blessing, you don't have to receive it again. Let the people who have not received it receive it. But the next thing that God wants is he wants healing. Spiritual, physical, mental, emotional healing. Each one of us is suffering. To a greater or lesser degree to the person next to us. And Jesus wants to free us. See, the miracles, like Jesus says this here, the miracles that are coming are going to be so amazing that everyone's going to want this gift. The healings that are going to occur basically are not only temporal. Jesus wants to bring miracles that will last forever. I cannot tell you the amount of miracles that people are claiming because of Louisa. And again, it took one miracle for John Paul II to become a blessed. It took one miracle for John Paul II to become a saint. Through Louisa, there's going to be thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miracles that are going to occur. Because Jesus wants us to know who his newborn is. Jesus wants us to know what this great gift is all about. And as evil grows, there's going to be more blessings in the great gift of the divine will. St. Augustine says that where evil is, grace will abound. That's what's coming with this gift. And Jesus is asking us to be apostles of the divine will. It's not your family, it's not your friends, it's not your neighbors, it's not your coworkers, it's not the parishioners, it's us. And what has he chosen? He's chosen those from the bottom of the barrel. We're nothing. And if we think we're something, then we're not apostles of the divine will. See, it's to be, like Father Bucci said, to be little, insignificant, and hidden. Then you become an apostle. In your littleness. If you think you're important, you're certainly not in the divine will. We are nothing. God is everything. And again, he loves us so much that he has chosen that we be living at this time so that through our linking ourselves with Louisa, the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. It's to establish the kingdom of God on earth as the saints now possess it in heaven. And that earth is within us. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. We have to live this peace, joy, and happiness. We have to live these truths that Jesus has given to Louisa. And as we embrace this, God is alive in us. And watch the miracles that will happen, not because of us, but because of Jesus reigning in us. We're nothing. We can produce no miracles. We can produce nothing. We can never do a divine act. God in us can do that. And that's what he says. Great things are going to be established. The kingdom is going to be coming on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to receive the perennial communion that Adam lost. And we will begin to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. So Jesus wants us, he wants us to know this. So Vine 23:11-6:27. You must know, and this is underlined and capitalized because this is what Jesus, this is a command from Jesus. You must know this, that what I'm going to talk to you right now, Jesus says, you must know this. This must become part of your life. And if anybody wants the document on you must know, let me know, and it's yours. Anything is yours. I was one place and they were selling my tapes for $12 a piece, and somebody said to me, how much money do you make on those tapes? I said, I don't sell them. I want everybody to have things for free. If there's any cost, it's at the cost of printing the book. We're not publishing because this isn't for everybody. It's for only the souls who have a priest. And if they have a question, they go to their priest. Father, what does this mean? And that is a way of first the priest will say, well, this is utter nonsense. And because he's never read, it's the language of heaven, and he doesn't understand the language of heaven. But as you talk to the priest and show him what Jesus is saying, the priest becomes involved. Then it becomes his responsibility to give it to everyone. Every priest on the face of the earth, Jesus says to Louisa, is going to promote the divine will. Every priest, every deacon, every bishop. Why? Jesus says in Vine 10, I'm going to renovate the priesthood. I'm going to make the priesthood the way I want it to be. And again, like I said before, the head of the town is not the mayor. It's not the chief of police. It's the priest. It's the pastor of the parish, pastor of that town. He is the one that's supposed to bring healing. He is the one that's supposed to bring peace. He is the one that he's in charge of every soul. Every Catholic soul, every Protestant soul, every Jewish soul, every Muslim soul. He's in charge. And if a person dies and goes to hell under his territory, Jesus is going to ask him, why did this man or this woman or this child die and not go to heaven? It was your job to bring that soul to heaven. Why are they in hell? That's why the priest will be severely beaten, Scripture says. St. Teresa of Avila says that the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. It's their job. And that's why Jesus says, you're not doing anything because you give people a hard bread, a stale bread. You're not giving them the bread of the divine will, which will feed them and nourish them and bring them into the kingdom. See, the priesthood is going to change. That's why you have to pray. You pray for the Pope, you pray for the bishops, you pray for the priests, you pray for the deacons. Because if they say one word, mislead one soul, Jesus says the best thing for you is a millstone around your neck and cast into the sea. Those are Jesus' words. So when I talk, I usually try to focus on what Jesus says because I don't want you to hear what I have to say. This gift is everything. It's Jesus. The truths. I said to a couple of people, well, let's write down all the truths. Give me a truth in the divine will. Everything that Jesus said is truth. Everything that Jesus said in the book of heaven is a divine life. Everything that is written in this book of heaven brings us to a truth that we can't even explain humanly. It's a divine truth, a divine understanding. And that's why he says, you must know that every time your Jesus decides to manifest a truth to you, Louisa, my love for this truth is so great that I, God, bilocate my very life in each truth. I, God, manifest so that each truth might have the divine power to form a divine life in souls. See then what it means to manifest to you, Louisa, one truth less or one truth more. It is to put out a divine life at risk, to put it in danger, to give it life or to give it death. Because if it is not known, loved, or appreciated, it is a divine life that does not receive its fruits, that does not receive the honors that befits it. This is why I, Jesus, love so much the truths that I have manifested to you, Louisa, because it is my life that runs within them. And I, Jesus, greatly love that they become known. To whom? To those that are reading it. It's as you live this, as you possess this, someone in China begins to live it. Someone in India begins to live it. See, it's not, this isn't promoting Louisa. It's not promoting the divine will. It's to live this life. It's very important that we not on the street corner, everybody read the Book of Heaven, Louisa Picaretta, she's the greatest thing on earth. It's to live it and to keep it hidden, to keep it secret. Again, Jesus, why does he say this? Because if this is given to everyone, the majority of people will say no, and that is permanent. Once somebody says no, they can't come back. The no is there. So he keeps things as a mystery. He keeps things that are so that they're hidden, so people do not say no to this. This is our God, how wise he is. Volume 24, 4, 22, 28. You must know, again, a command from Jesus, that when our fiat wants to manifest the truth, it places all of our divine being in activity and overflowing with divine love, with divine light, with divine power, and divine wisdom, with divine beauty and divine goodness. It forms the birth of that truth that it wants to deliver. See, this is life. See, our God... See, we're used to, happy birthday, here's a present, oh, I opened up, oh, it's really nice. God gives us things that are alive. When we're born, he gives us an angel at our birth. He's already given us an angel when we were conceived, our guardian angel. When we receive a sacrament, he gives us another angel. This is living. So when we go to Holy Communion, we go back to our first communion, and we thank God for the angel that he has given us at Holy Communion in order to receive him worthily. And we ask our Holy Angel, please help me receive Jesus worthily. When we go to confession, to go to the angel that we receive the sacrament of confession. Holy Angel, please, guardian angel, go to my Holy Angel of Penance and help me give a good, make a good confession. When you have trouble in your family, you shouldn't have any trouble in your family. You got your angel of marriage, you got your spouse's guardian angel, you got your guardian angel, you got your children's guardian angel. Well, right now, if you have one child, you got five against one because you're counting yourself. Five against one. The person doesn't have a chance. It's holy guardian angel, please go to my child's holy guardian angel and explain this to them. Thank you very much. Fiat. Why worry? Your angel's going to do it. Holy guardian angel, please go to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and ask the Sacred Heart of Jesus to bring great blessings to my child who is living in this situation. God's going to do it. He takes us at our word. Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. The command prayer that Jesus is asking us to begin to pray is to let Jesus do it. You know, when we pray the command prayer, we were trying to figure out, what's the formula? How do you do this? It's very simple. It's Jesus. Stand up and walk. It's Jesus. Be healed. It's Jesus in us. In the holy divine will, Jesus, pray in my praying. This is why when the miracles begin, when people finally understand, like he says here, these truths have a divine activity overflowing with divine love, divine light, divine power, divine wisdom, divine beauty, divine goodness, and it forms the birth of this truth that God in the Holy Divine Will wants to deliver to us. It comes to birth. It comes to life. Jesus is the Word. When we speak, we say, Jesus, speak in my speaking. Jesus, you heal. Bring about what you want. And he says that. He says he wants complete restoration. But it's not after we die. It's now. So he says this. And since all of our divine qualities place themselves in the act of rising, we, Triune God, cannot contain it. And so we, Triune God, release this birth from within us to give it to the creature as gift. This is a divine life in these truths. Don't think with a human perspective. Think from a divine perspective. Think for the mind of Jesus. Jesus, come think in my thinking. Help me understand with your understanding. Help me praise with your praising. See, we are nothing. God is everything. And he wants us to participate in this. And if the soul does not take it into consideration, she causes our divine love, our divine light to be aborted. And she causes our divine power, our divine wisdom, our divine beauty, our divine goodness to be aborted and make them die at birth. See, Jesus says, I am the God. Jesus, my Father is the Father of the living. He said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply. This is every thought, every word, and every deed. It's not just children. He wants abundant fruit in every thought, word, and deed. And that's, again, what the rounds will bring you to. The rounds will bring you to understand how to pray the way Jesus and Mary prayed. And so the soul loses this dear birth from us, Triune God, and does not receive our divine life. And we want to give her by means of that truth. And we are left with the sorrow of having aborted and feel the good that we wanted to give to the soul re-enter back into us. In fact, if the creature aborts, she loses that birth, while we, Triune God, do not lose it. But it is re-enters back into us. It is for the creature that this gift is aborted, this life is aborted of the divine will. This truth is aborted of the divine will. So therefore, be attentive. When you feel the sea of light that my fiat forms its waves to overflow outside to deliver the birth of its truths. Volume 24, 6:28. My daughter Louisa, how happy I am. That's God. God is happy. God is holy. And he wants us to enter into his life of happiness. Again, there's with this, when you go to communion today, offer Jesus a gift. Give him your miseries, your worries, your fears, your anxieties, your complaints, your negativities, your sin. Say, Lord, I give this to you. They're yours. Crucify them with you on the cross. Never let me see them again. And then be free to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. I mean, give Jesus. He says, I want all your miseries. I want all your fears. He says, I want to free you of all that is bothering you. He wants to be Lord of your life. Holy Communion is the perfect time to give him everything that bothers us. You're worried about your neighbor? Give your neighbor to the Lord. Be free, be joyful, be happy, but don't be an Indian giver. Don't ever take it back. That's why when you look at Christ crucified, you see the glory of God, and you must see nailed to the cross all your worry, all your fear, all your anxiety, all your complaints, all your negativity. Oh, how happy I am that I, Jesus, manifested to you, Louisa, so many truths about my divine will. All of my truths, which I have told you are about the divine will, are stairs for you in order to ascend in the acts of my eternal will and find our first act in act, the prime act of God, which has the virtue of always being present and to give us, Triune God, the joy and the happiness of the return of your love and for us in order to ascend toward you, descend toward you, to look for the company of the one, Luisa, for whom we operated. The one, Luisa, whom we love so much. How sweet is the company of the one, Luisa. It is full of unforgettable joys. We also want to participate in what God has given to Luisa. So we'll end there and get ready for the Holy Rosary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.